In the last few weeks, I received two requests for topics, for talks. And one of the requests was a talk on aging. Which I've noticed that everyone does. And the other topic is, request was on dying. Which I've noticed that everyone does sooner or later. And I'm not going to address these directly, but the topic of today is very central to both of these, aging and death, and it's also central to much of Buddhist practice, much of a wise life. And that's the topic of letting go. So letting go. And there is a little saying that goes, in the pursuit of knowledge, every day something is gained. In the pursuit of freedom, every day something is let go of. So freedom and letting go are closely connected. In fact, you might consider a little bit some of the synonyms for letting go, that are close synonyms. There's things like release, letting up, relaxing, lightening up, come to mind. Buddhism is often associated with letting go, and often the extreme form of letting go, or one variation of letting go, is renunciation, a very frightening word. And in fact, for some people, even the word letting go is problematic. It brings up images of deprivation, of doing without, of being an ascetic or something. Some people even has connotations of something's wrong with me because I can't let go, or it's up to me to do something. You just let go. I'd like to say that certainly there are reasons to be suspicious of the teachings on letting go. It can be done simplistically. It can be kind of a blanket kind of policy, just let go of everything and you'll be okay. And it involves in that kind of blanket kind of approach, a kind of denial of life, denial of many things. It's possible to let go of the wrong things and diminish yourself in the process of that. But even though letting go can be done wrong, letting go is still a very, very central aspect of Buddhist practice. And so learning how to let go, learning how to let go wisely, is an important aspect of the practice. And so I offer the topic today, in this talk today, of letting go for your for fodder for your reflection, so that maybe over the next week you can reflect and think about letting go and make it a kind of a theme of exploration in your life. Because the only Dharma book that's really going to make any difference in your life is a Dharma book that's inside your heart, inside yourself, as you do this practice. So letting go. The guy who's kind of like the founder of American psychology, William James, he wrote a famous book on this kind of psychology of religious experience. He made a point that in the religions, spiritual traditions he was familiar with which for the most part, as far as I know, were Christianity. Among those forms of Christianity that believed in the innate goodness of people or the innate goodness of nature. And in the end of the 1800s, when he was studying, there was a whole movement in Christianity in that direction, a reaction to the fire and brimstone kind of teachings that we're all sinful and we have to be vigilant and that existed earlier, we're all bad. Christianity, certain circles of Christianity in America kind of swung, and there was this deep teachings of innate goodness of nature, innate goodness of life, of people. And William James said, among those schools, that one of the really important teachings is letting go. Letting go and relaxing. Letting go into a natural state. And then he said that revivalist preachers back then, and would use this story commonly for letting go. So I'll tell you a Christian revivalist preacher story. A person was out walking at night in the countryside and didn't see the cliff, and slipped off the edge of the cliff and was sliding down the precipice and trying wildly to grab onto something, but the rocks would come loose and whatever, but finally was able to grab onto a branch and was holding in the dark there, was holding onto that branch, realizing, you know, it's feeling and thinking that this is it, you know, like holding on for life, because they're on the edge of it, holding on to the side of a cliff. And it's night, no one's out, no one can hear the cries for help, and the person's holding on really tight. And finally, you know, the muscle is just cramping up, it just hurts too much, it's impossible to keep on anymore. And finally, the person just has to let go. And the person falls 6 inches to the ground. The ground was only 6 inches away. In the dark, they couldn't see it. So now when you do fall off cliffs, and don't trust the fact that the ground is only six inches below you. You might be a little bit wiser than that in real life. But you know, this is a spiritual story. You know, so letting go. Is the ground, is support only 6 inches away? The Buddhist version of the story is something like this, maybe even more improbable. The person is walking down in the countryside at night and trips and falls over the cliff and tries to grab something, nothing there to grab onto. Keeps falling, tries to grab something, keeps falling, is really afraid, kind of imagining what's going to happen when the person hits the ground, and just afraid, and keeps falling and falling and falling. And after a long while, maybe the sun rises, and the person realizes there is no ground. So choose your story. But you know, letting go. The need for letting go is so clear when we grasp and the grasping hurts. When we're clutching to something, holding tight. And we can hold tight to many, many things. We can hold tight to opinions. And opinions can be relatively easy sometimes to let go of, or can be the most difficult to let go of if our pride and various things come into place. We can cling to comfort, wanting to be comfortable. And it's an epidemic, contagious kind of form of clinging that many people in our culture have. The Buddha said that the clinging to comfort, indirectly he said, the clinging to comfort is one of the most foundational and pervasive forms of clinging that human beings have. And in hearing that from the Buddha, I take it as a challenge that maybe many times what we cling to is not to opinions, not to many things, you know, more grand things. It's often our clinging is very simple, just to being comfortable or avoiding discomfort. So it's interesting to look at that, the degree to which that operates in our life. And we can cling to status, we can cling to safety, we can cling to security, we can cling to relationships, partly because of what the relationships are going to do. They provide security or safety or acknowledgement or love or some all kinds of things. We can cling to many, many different things. And if those things that come relatively easy, then maybe we don't notice the pain of clinging. If they don't come our way, or if they feel like we're going to lose them, then the clinging can be quite painful. And one of the ways to study clinging is to study it in our body, the physicality of clinging. Chances are, the more you cling, the more you're going to feel that this tightening up someplace in your body. you know, fear is a kind of clinging. You can feel your stomach maybe tighten up, or maybe kind of excessive ambition, wanting to get something, and you crouch up and tighten your shoulders. Or it can be in the jaw. It can be in the hands. Some people's hands are chronically a little bit tense, you know, because they're kind of. And some people, it's their arms or their shoulders or their along their spine or the back rib cage or the front rib cage or their diaphragm or their stomach muscles or the thighs for some people. Good old thighs, a place where some people tighten up. So one of the places to study clinging and realize its impact on us is physically, to look into our body. And it's really remarkable, the more sensitive you are to your body, the more the body will reveal to you the cost of clinging. And the more it makes it something tangible. And when it's not tangible, it's sometimes difficult to see that we're clinging, or even more, it can be difficult to know how to let go. And it's not uncommon for people to come to me and say, this letting go stuff, I don't understand how you do it. How do you do this letting go? And I'm usually a little bit perplexed to then know how to tell them, because to me it seems kind of obvious, usually. And usually is very important, because there are times when letting go is not easy. And this idea, the teaching, oh, just let go and you'll be fine, is kind of an insult at times, because sometimes the clinging, the holding on is, you know, you don't see any entryway into how to let go, because it's so locked in, so solid. Sometimes it takes a fair amount of relaxing, it takes a fair amount of practice in order to let go and to loosen up. In order to let go, to practice letting go, it helps if a person understands that it's wise to let go, that letting go is better than the alternative. And unless you're convinced in that, why let go? If you think that letting go is where the answer is, if holding on is where the answer is, you're not going to want to let go. So to be able to reflect and understand, and maybe talk to your friends and explore and think about letting go and the value of it, maybe have conversations with friends this week. What's the opportunities that are inherent in letting go? Isn't that an interesting way of saying it? What are the opportunities in letting go? In saying that, doesn't mean that there isn't maybe disadvantages in letting go. Maybe there are opportunities in holding on, if you really are on a cliff. But what are the opportunities found in letting go? And some of those we'll talk about in a little while. Many years ago, I went to visit Ajahn Amaro, a Buddhist monk up in Ukiah, and I went with a group of people. And it's often a custom when you go to a monastery like that, especially if you go in the morning, to bring food for their meal, one meal of the day. And in fact, many of the people I went with brought lots of food for the meal. And in going up there, I was really inspired to support these monks, practitioners up there, and to bring some kind of food. And I knew that back then they had very few visitors. And so they would have, you know, on the weekends they had a lot of visitors and they get a lot of food. But then in the weekdays they wouldn't have a lot of visitors and they wouldn't be given a lot of food. But I knew that they had lay people living there who could keep dry goods in the cupboard and then, you know, cook it during the week when food wasn't brought to the monastery. So I thought ahead, and so I brought all this rice and beans and dry goods and brought it. So I was happy to do that, until that we were there for lunch that day, and I had no idea this was the custom there. But we were all sitting in this room around in a big circle, the monks on one side and us on the other side, and we were going to have the noonday meal. And the way the food is brought in, it's brought into the room, and then it's passed around from the most senior monk to the junior monk and around to everyone else, and we serve ourselves from the bowls of food. But as each dish is brought into the room, it's announced who donated the meal, that dish that day. Well, it didn't take me long to realize that everyone's name is going to be announced except mine, because I didn't bring anything for that meal. I brought things for future meals. And I could feel this impulse inside of me. to stand up or yell out, yes, but but I didn't bring anything to this meal, but I brought lots of food. this impulse to kind of, you know, correct any mistaken notion people had about me, or to prove that in fact I was generous and, you know, came thoughtfully or whatever. And, you know, it was completely inappropriate to stand up and say that, you know, just we're having this nice meal, we're sitting in a nice circle. And I could feel this clinging in on self and how I've got seen happening. I had two options. One right then and one later. One option was to let go. Let go of that impulse and let go of needing to be seen a certain way. Okay, I mean, I could suffer, I could speak up, and it just didn't seem like that would help. So to let go. Be relaxed. Relax. Lighten up around this. And the other option was, many years later, to tell a big audience like this. So you would know the true story. Just wait for your time, right? So this idea of letting go is very important. And one of the important things to look at is the opportunities that come from letting go. Letting go is not only to do without. It's like two sides of a coin. You let go of something, and that allows something else to happen. In order to allow something new to happen, generally there has to be some kind of letting go, even we don't often think that way. Letting go is always happening. And in fact, it's a natural thing to want to let go to some degree, because things are often going. It's natural for things to go. And the word let in letting go has the association of allowing something to go. If things are going, then allow them to go. Let a kind of a grace around them, rather than trying to prevent it from going. Hold on tight. Let's not let this go. My youth. Right? For some of us, our youth is disappearing. So letting it go, it partly means to allow it to go, to be gracious about it. Let it go. If it's time to die, the hope is that something like Buddhist practice is going to allow you to die with grace. Die with this grace here. What I mean by grace here, maybe a better word is graciousness, in the sense of allowing yourself to go when the time comes to go. It's possible to hold on tight to the very last moment, and, you know, that's one option. Another option is to allow the going in a more gracious way, more peaceful way. So, to let go, to allow to go with some grace, graciousness, the things that are naturally going, is one of the meanings of letting go. So two sides. There's letting go of something. And then there's letting go into something. So there's letting go, and you can let, on one hand, you can let go of something. And in Buddhist spirituality, the most important thing to let go of is your clinging. Not necessarily letting go of something. And there's sometimes a confusion that I have to let go of my money, I have to let go of my house, I have to let go of my, you know, all kinds of things. And Buddhism doesn't say to lay people, you have to let go of anything, you know, like an object or a person or something. What you have to let go of is the clinging and grasping to it. And that's a hugely important thing, to let go of the grasping. And maybe I've used this example too many times, I apologize. But I like the example so much. If you hold on to a bell really tight and grasp it, small bell, you don't get a nice sound. But if you hold it lightly, if you just kind of let it rest in the palm of your hand, you get a nice sound. So letting go doesn't necessarily mean that you're letting go of anything, you're letting go of the clinging, the grasping to it. And then you can decide whether it's wise to put it down or whether to handle it very differently. So that's a very important distinction, letting go of something versus letting go of the clinging to something. And the hardest Buddhist spirituality is letting go of the clinging. So it's letting go of something. Sometimes we let go of things, you know. Sometimes it's very wise to let go of certain things. People who are overly busy, it's good to let go of some of the lists of things we do. Some people have too many possessions, and it's just a burden. And some people find it great delight to let go of some of the possessions because it just lightens up their life. Some people find it's a burden to try to always want more and more money. And some people, this is a very bad advertisement for Buddhism, what I'm about to tell you, so only for us. And that is that some people who engage in Buddhist practice become downwardly mobile. The un-American dream. And because some people find that actually doing working less or having a less stressful job, letting go of those things actually leads to a wiser life. So there's a time and place for letting go of things. But the heart of Buddhist practice is letting go of clinging. And what you do with things has to do with your wisdom. But then there's letting go into something. Letting go into something. Remember, William James said, those religions that have believe in the natural goodness of life or of people, relaxing and letting go, we're letting go into our own natural goodness. And there's many, many Buddhists who have this kind of teaching as well, or Buddha nature or something. So what are some of the things we can let go into? For some people, when there's a lot of stress, a lot of tension, a lot of meanness, a lot of something, letting go might allow us to reveal some kind of inner goodness, a sense of generosity or compassion or peace, relaxation, ease. And I still, after 30 years plus now of Buddhist practice, I still delight in almost like in a way like I'm surprised anew how little I need to feel happy. I can sit down to meditate and I might be kind of grumpy or tense or something initially, but just letting go and sitting here and let the tension relaxing, the tensions drop away. And in the end, you know, all the things I think I need to do that day, like to-do lists and things are so important, you know, they're kind of, all those wanting and wanting is kind of embedded in my muscles. And it's very hard to, you know, muscles kind of almost come with lawyers. You know, it has to be this way. But then, you know, as we begin relaxing, and you feel, I don't have to do all these things. I can just be present, just be. And it's deeply satisfying, kind of delight. So to let go, and let go is to find a kind of simplicity of being which is very deeply satisfying. Sometimes it's possible. As a culture, as many people are familiar with the value of letting go, we don't use that language. Some people are able to go on vacations. And part of the value of vacations is that we're able to let go, forget about, maybe we use the word forget about, we forget about some of the concerns and preoccupations we have with normal life and work. And vacations are rejuvenating because we kind of drop away into many of the concerns that are so stressful for us. Letting go can be rejuvenating. That's part of its value, part of the opportunity in it. So there can be letting go. Just if you're tense enough, holding on enough, just letting go itself is satisfying. We let go into the opposite of clutching. Ease, peace, relaxation, something. But there's also letting go into something which is more our choice. We can choose to let go into something. That's part of the opportunity. Not just simply letting go into some natural goodness, but letting go into the goodness which we choose to let go into. So, for example, in letting go, you can also focus on, you can letting go into a sense of gratitude. Gratitude is really a beautiful thing. And I know in myself that I don't go around thinking gratefully automatically. I don't wake up in the morning and thinking, what am I grateful for now? But gratitude is a great quality to have. And it brings me a sense of delight and happiness to be grateful. And sometimes I'll choose to kind of think about what are the things that's happening, supporting my life, things going on right now, that I can feel grateful for. And this might seem really trite if I tell you some of the things I feel grateful for. But it's how easy it is. I'm grateful for traffic lights. I'm grateful that the streets are asphalt properly. I'm grateful that telephones work. You know, I'm grateful that so much works, that this, I can go to stores and easily buy the, I mean, it's just like we live, compared to some places in the world, we live in heaven. The ease and simplicity by which we can just go down, you know, go down the El Camino here, and you have to kind of make these really difficult decisions, like, do I go to Whole Foods or a Safeway? And then the choice is, that's just the first choice. And then you go into the store, and it's ridiculous, you know. So at least I can have some, I mean, maybe it's too much, but we can have some gratitude. Wow, you know. And I find that actually a very nice state to be grateful. So to let go into gratitude. More profound, perhaps, maybe not, is to let go into appreciation. If I'm caught up in my concerns, maybe I can't appreciate the person I'm with so much, or appreciate myself, or appreciate my circumstances. And so can you let go into appreciation? Letting go doesn't make room, space, for more appreciation of this moment right now, or what's happening here and now. What is it that can be appreciated now? Sometimes I know it's really easy for the mind to put together the litany of things that are not to be appreciated right now. All the problems, all the difficulties. And some of them might be, you know, reasonable enough. But the mind can be obsessed on that and lost in that world. Is it possible to lighten up, ease up a little bit from that, and open up, in that easing up, begin kind of looking around, what is it that can be appreciated right now? What is it to be appreciated here and now? Letting go into compassion. Letting go into a sense of love. Letting go into peace. We let go into something. So the suggestion here is that letting go is a really wonderful opportunity that allows something wonderful to happen. Maybe not easily always, but sometimes it can be easily. And if we have a sense of the opportunities there, maybe it's easier to let go. It said that forgiveness is a kind of letting go. The cliche is that forgiveness is giving up. Giving up is another word for letting go, right? Giving up. Giving up all hope for a better past. So, you know, these are kind of letting go. You know, forgiveness. I love the word forgiveness because of the etymology of the word. To give. It's a giving. So giving up. So letting go. To make space in our life for letting go. Take the time to let go. If we're always driven and going, 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 we can't let go. And if we want to be rejuvenated, we have to make space for that. That's what vacations are. Meditation practice is a form of vacation. Give yourself a 40-minute vacation every day. Sit and meditate and let go and let go and let go. There are some teachers whose only meditation instruction is sit down and let go. That's all they teach. Isn't that amazing? I think maybe there should be a little bit more than that. But you can go really far if you just sit down and let go, let go, let go. And I've given that instruction to some people who, when they try to meditate, are always doing and manipulating and judging and criticizing themselves and kind of getting tight and worried. And, you know, it just, some people, the meditation is this huge engineering project where they tie themselves in knots. And so then the instruction is, oh, just let go. Just when you sit down, just let go. Every time you notice you're trying to do anything but let go, let go. And then if you do it long enough, if you get really good at the letting go, then not only let go of every attempt to do something except letting go, Let go of every attempt to do something, including the attempt to let go. Because, now there's something wise about that. Let go of every effort. Because a close relative to letting go, a very profound relative to letting go, is letting be. Letting something be. So, just letting something be. So we don't react to it, we don't judge it, we don't push it away, we don't hold on to it. Just let it be. Let it be. Nothing has to be changed. Find our peace, find our freedom in the letting it be. This is very helpful sometimes with attitudes towards ourselves. Sometimes it's difficult to let go. We feel angry or grumpy or feel filled with desire or something, hate. And so sometimes the wisest thing to do is to let it be. Not let it be and act on it, but sit in meditation and just let it be there so you can see it really well, study it, and not be in a reactive mode to it. And if you try to let, sometimes if you try to let go of something, there can be a subtle, in the letting go, there can be a subtle aversion. And sometimes it's wiser just to let it be. Letting be is a kind of letting go. Just let it be. Just sit here and let things be. So, the last thing, a couple of last things for me. One is that it is hard to let go. And when it's really hard, when it's really hard to let go, there's suffering there. You can feel the suffering of not being able to let go. But it's really important to realize that certain issues, you can't just snap your fingers and let go. It's not that easy. Sometimes what's needed is you have to thin out the mind, or thin out the preoccupations of the mind. And part of the function of meditation practice, like coming back to the breath, is each time you come back to the breath, the energy of the mind is not going into the preoccupation. You're taking the energy of the mind and you're putting it towards the breath, paying attention to the breath. And slowly you begin, don't underestimate the value of that shift of energy away from preoccupation towards something more neutral, the breath. And slowly, the mind will relax. Slowly the body will relax. And slowly you'll maybe feel that the strength of your thoughts and preoccupations start thinning out. And then at some point they get thin enough that you can let go. They get weaker and weaker, then you can let go. But you have to wait until things get weak enough or thin enough to be able to do that. So the questions for each of you this week is, what's the opportunity for you in letting go? And what are the most useful things, areas in your life that you can bring letting go to? What are the useful areas of your life? Where would it be useful? Where are the opportunities you can take in letting go? Think about this. Think about it this week. Talk to friends. Go for a walk with a friend. And say, I have this homework from IMC. I'm supposed to talk to a friend about letting go. And I've chosen you. In the pursuit of knowledge, or wealth, or status, or anything, the pursuit of knowledge, every day something is gained. In the pursuit of freedom, every day something is let go of. May you all be free. Thank you.